Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Well, the United States has survived another fiscal standoff. For now, a few hours before midnight yesterday, Republican legislators conceded and agreed on a deal to fund government operations until January 15th of 2014. The deal ended 16 days of a partial federal shutdown, and today the gears of government sputtered back to life. The crisis was no laughing matter for furloughed workers and worried economists, but provided plenty of grist for online memes and jokesters. With the fiasco behind us, for now, we're looking at how the government showdown played out online. And Brady Carlson's with us, NHPR's host of All Things Considered and Word of Mouth's web culture analyst. Hello, Brady.
Hi, Virginia.
So let's go back to October 1st, when the fiscal year began and the partial government shutdown began. Do you recall the first memes fired over the bow?
Well, the first ones I saw were focused on the shutdown and its effects on the National Zoo's Panda Cam, which has been, of course, a big hit on the internet for a long time, and how that would go dark. It actually didn't go dark right away. It took a few hours, and then all of a sudden someone realized it wasn't technically supposed to be on. And there was also an image macro featuring Smokey the Bear that said, "Only you can prevent forest fires. No, seriously, I've been furloughed." At the same time, sort of the playbook of news events and social media started to unfold. The Twitter hashtag game started up. There was one called Shutdown Pickup Lines, which were frankly so bad that I can't even bring myself to repeat them. There was also a short-lived call that people could protest by going without pants. It was no budget, no pants. Comedians started to try out their best shutdown one-liners, and then there were people who posted fake job listings on Craigslist and Monster saying help wanted senior leaders for the U.S. government. So you got the sense that a lot of the people who were coming up with the initial memes figured that there was a deal in sight and it was just a matter of hours, possibly, maybe not days and certainly not weeks, that this was going to go on. The web tends to skew toward the offbeat and the unusual anyway. So maybe if we were going off the fiscal cliff in the end, they'd probably still be joking about it anyway.
Well, I'm seeing a couple that really, you know, have the feeling of throw out the bums as far as Congress is concerned. There's a picture of the House of Representatives. It says, you know, that little window that comes up when you delete something. It says, delete multiple items. Are you sure you want to move these 535 items to the recycle bin and you're supposed to hit yes or no? You know, there is a lot of sort of like, they're just not doing their job. Congress is supposed to work. But are you noticing anything skewing either Democrat or Republican as far as the memes are concerned?
Well, the broader drivers of web culture tend to skew left. And so there has been a lot of anti-Republican memes. There was one, and this was one that I think was promulgated by a lot of Democratic-leaning organizations with the hashtag Enough Already. They had a page, things to be nostalgic for in the 90s, the Power Rangers, Seinfeld, Pogs, 90s things we don't want to see again, government shutdowns. And there were plenty of memes, to be fair, on the right as well. You had that photo of the Republicans sitting at the negotiating table with no one sitting on the other side, and that got a lot of shares. But to bring up, you know, this throw them all out kind of thing, there are a huge number of people on the web who want to stay away from politics, as there are a huge number of people in the rest of the world that stay away from politics. They don't want to get into anything partisan. They don't want to get into anything that they see as controversial. And so the sort of safe default way to still engage in the news of the day without getting into any partisan inclinations or leanings is to post everyone's at fault. They're all terrible. Boy, that bunch of clowns in Congress has done it again kind of attitude. And so you see a lot of those memes.
Well, there are certainly some pretty funny things. I'm looking at a graph on the daily costs, things that people like more than Congress. They say things like France, Genghis Khan.
Root canals.
And then things that people actually like less than Congress, Ebola, North Korea, meth labs. I mean, it's certainly funny stuff. So is Drunk Dial Congress, which gives you the opportunity for disgruntled Americans, especially furloughed workers with cabin fever, to start phoning their representatives. So this is, you know, they're light. This is funny. These are creative approaches. But does any of it shed any real light on what's going on?
A little bit, but not necessarily in the way that we think. I mean, Drunk Dial Congress is jokey. It's intended to sort of give, you know, it'll just connect you with some members of Congress's office. And, you know, you say what you say. But there was a piece in the Washington Post, which I thought had an interesting question at its core. It was intended to say that it thought that this so-called Tea Party part of the Republican Party was driving the government shutdown and putting the country at risk of a default. But what I thought was really interesting about it was it was saying essentially there's a tension built into the system as it's intended and the way that we operate now. The original structure of the Constitution and the framework of government is essentially intended to insulate lawmakers from public opinion of
the
day.
From mob rule.
Give them a little bit of breathing room so that they can make decisions that may not be popular in the moment but might wind up seeming like the right call later on. And today, the tools that we have allow people to not only speak their mind to Congress, but do so in a very public fashion so that you can see large groups of people reacting to plans that may or may not even have been announced yet. So sort of somebody floats a trial balloon for an idea to avoid a government shutdown, and the opposition to that builds before it even gets put before any lawmaker. So that's a very, very different way of operating compared to what we've done in the past, when oftentimes people in other parts of the country might not know what's happened in Washington until it's already been done. And that tension, I think, is something worth looking at going forward. You know, is that a better expression of democracy, or is it making the system very ungovernable in situations where you have to make tough calls?
And maybe mob rule can turn into a mob and spread much more quickly than it ever could before.
Yes, extremely quickly. And the other part to mention, too, is that the process of creating memes has become extremely professionalized, especially this year. They're not coming out so much from left field as they are coming out of marketing offices and PR firms. I mean, last week I got a press release in my inbox for something or other, and the person sending me the message sent me suggested memes, the way that they would say, and a suggested photo to use with the article or a suggested quote to use from a lawmaker.
So much for the citizen coming up with a creative response to what's going on with the government. Now it's coming out of marketing firms.
The grassroots is always going to be there, but the people who already are part of the mainstream structure, the people who are already part of the mainstream structure are going to be right there with them.
Whenever we have you on the show, Brady, you tend to find some appropriately themed music to end the interview. Any government shutdown songs written over these past few weeks?
Well, there have been a few. Me, I'm old school, so I always think back to Schoolhouse Rock. I'm just a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. But I think the one that's gotten the most play is the one Miley Cyrus did for Saturday Night Live on the shutdown. And since Miley is sort of the person of the moment, I guess it would be apropos to end with her.
Brady Carlson is NHPR's host of All Things Considered. He's Word of Mouth's regular web culture analyst. And thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.